want to encourage you guys with that this morning. Let's pray over the offering. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have to worship you through giving. And God, I pray that, Lord, you would help us now to turn our hearts towards you. God, if you want us to give, God, I pray that you would speak to us. And Lord, I pray that we would be quick to obey this morning, Lord. Father God, we just thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. God is good. Have you ever noticed how some things in life look amazing on the outside, but they don't deliver once you actually try them? I've actually got a few pictures of some things that didn't work out quite the way people expected. This first one is a fast food. It's the difference between the advertisement on the top and what you actually get on the bottom. You can see that, they do a whole bunch of work to make that top picture look appealing. So that's one. Another one is this guy that bought something on Amazon. He bought a carpet, and I don't know if you can see the picture very well, but he's literally holding the thing that he bought, and it was not the right, not the dimensions that he expected, for sure. This last one had their friend make a cake for them instead of a professional. So they gave him the picture. They said, this is what I want. And then you can see over there, this is what they got. Now, if you didn't have the first picture to refer to, you could tell that that was Minnie Mouse. And you could tell that somebody really tried their best to make a Minnie Mouse cake. So I want to give that person some props, because I couldn't even make anything that looked anywhere near that. Pastor Tiffany could, but I couldn't. Actually, she could do more like the left-hand side. I don't want you guys thinking that I'm saying she does the right-hand side. But you know that sometimes things don't always come out looking the way you expect them to. In fact, every January you see gym commercials promising, if you just sign up for my gym membership, you're going to get 6-pack or 7-pack abs. Right? Okay, Judah's doing this to me. He's like, 6'7". If you don't know, ask your grandkids. Gym memberships promise 6-pack abs, but they can't deliver. Beer commercials leave out what the next morning looks like. All throughout our life, we have things that are promising something great, and then when we get down to it, they're less than what we expected. And we laugh at stuff like these pictures that I just showed, because we've all experienced it in life, haven't we? We've all experienced something like this. There was something that was promised, and yet the thing that was delivered was something else entirely. And it's not just burgers or beer commercials, but life makes promises that it can't and it won't ever deliver on. You see, addiction promises escape. It promises fun. It promises that you're going to have friends and you're going to be able to do things and experience things that you never could on your own. But all it delivers is brokenness and chains in life. Pornography promises intimacy. It promises pleasure, but it delivers emptiness and it delivers shame. Money and careers promise significance and security, but they deliver stress and broken families. Toxic relationships promise love. They promise belonging, but they deliver abuse and heartbreak. Sin promises freedom. Sin promises happiness, but it only delivers regret and destruction. And I think we've all felt it in life. We've all felt this pressure to chase after something more, something that we hope is going to finally and fully satisfy us. And sooner or later, we're left asking this question that's up on the screen behind me: is there more to life than this? Is there more to life than this? Last week, we asked two questions. We asked, do you have the life that you're looking for? And how do I know that the life that I'm looking for is the life that I'm supposed to be looking for? So we looked at, am I getting the thing that I'm expecting? And also, is the thing that I'm expecting the thing that I should be looking for? Because what we're going to learn today is that too often we chase after the wrong things, hoping that it's going to provide something for us, and yet it can never deliver the thing that it's promising. We talked about how Jesus, last week, we talked about how Jesus is the gate, like think about a gate at an airport, that leads you to the best life. We said that there's at an airport, there's a plane that's waiting to take you to your best life, but if you go to gate C7 instead of going to gate D12, where your plane is, you're not going to get to the destination that you're hoping for. And so we said that you've got to go through the correct gate in order to get to where you want to go. And this isn't about exclusivity. This isn't about Jesus trying to exclude people or keep people away, but it is about specificity. Let me say that again. This isn't about exclusivity, but this is about specificity. Jesus is being specific about what you need to do, not to keep people out, but to make sure that everybody gets in. Let me say that again. He's not trying to keep people out. He's not trying to push people away. He wants to make sure that everybody gets in. You guys believe that? Come on. So some of you, you've gone through a different gate. You've walked through and now you're feeling some regret because you've been chasing after the wrong thing. Some of you feel shame over the way that you've acted throughout this life, and you know that you're off course. But here's the great news this morning. God wants to put you back on course. And it doesn't matter how far you've flown away from Him. It's only one step back. It's only one step back to Him today. Everybody say one step back to God. Come on, one step back to God. So some of you, you're trying to decide which gate to go through, or you're still wandering through the airport. We talked about this last week. If you don't remember it, go back and listen to the message. I hope today you're going to choose to follow God's will, because God's way is better than our ways. So our question today, again, is there more to life than this? Thankfully for us, Jesus understood that life brings with it pressure, it brings with it concerns, it brings with it stress, it brings with it all of these things. And He knew that we were constantly going to be facing this temptation to chase after things that promise security, meaning, but can't truly deliver on those things. We chase after joy, we chase after love, we chase after peace, but if we're not going to the source, we're never going to find what we're looking for. So for the first century believers, it was this pressure to find safety in political power, to cling to religious systems, or to seek provision through wealth or through land, through careers, things like that. Does that sound familiar? We find safety in our politics, we cling to our religious systems, we find safety in our careers, in our finances, in our bank accounts. It might look to you like any of those things. It might be relationships, it might be the next big purchase. Whatever it is, we're chasing peace, we're chasing happiness, and we're chasing security. And Jesus knew that this temptation was never going to go away. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 10, and we're going to look at how Jesus addressed this idea, because He's got something that He wants to say to us this morning. Now, John was written by one of Jesus' closest followers, and we talked about it a little bit last week. But what he did was, after Jesus died and was resurrected, he took to starting to compile all of the events of Jesus' life, all of his teachings, all of the things that he said and did, to give us a guide for how to learn to love like Jesus. This is ultimately what our goal is, and we see that in John, this is a book that was written to the Jewish people to help them understand who Jesus is, what Jesus did, and how we can learn to love the same way that He did. Okay, John chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 9, although later on you probably just want to read through the whole chapter because there's lots of good stuff in here. But Jesus is talking to a group of people that were antagonistic towards Him. There was a group of religious leaders called the Pharisees who were actively at this point trying to trip Him up, trying to get Him to say things that they could use to discredit Him. And they saw that He was starting to gain a following, and they were getting jealous and they were getting concerned about this following. And so they started to try and put up roadblocks. So Jesus is addressing a group of Pharisees, and you can imagine there's a crowd around as well, because they want to see exactly what Jesus is going to say. And Jesus says, starting in verse 9, He says, "I am the gate." Now, you guys remember from my introduction just a minute ago, last week we talked about Jesus being the gate. We talked about how Jesus is the one that helps us to get into the path that we're going on. And so we understand that. In fact, why don't you guys just repeat that with me? Just say, "Jesus is the gate." That's right. Okay, so Jesus is the gate. He says, whoever enters through me will be saved. Now, that makes sense based on what we talked about last week, doesn't it? It makes sense that if you want to get to your destination, first you've got to walk through the gate of the airport into the plane, and then it's going to take you to where you want to go. And if you use a different gate, you're not going to get to the place that you want to be. But John adds, or Jesus adds this little detail. He says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. Now, this is a little bit different than what we talked about last week, isn't it? In fact, Jesus wasn't thinking about airports at all when he delivered this 2,000 years ago, because there weren't airports, in case you were trying to... Okay, anyway, so Jesus says that he is the gate, and you can go into him and out from him, and those people that do that have found salvation. Now, he says, in our analogy last week, I want to draw this distinction because I don't want anybody to be confused. In our analogy last week, salvation was inside of the sheep pen, and everything else that you wanted to do, everything else in life, was outside of the sheep pen. But Jesus says that that's not exactly right. That's not exactly a clear picture of everything. You know, every analogy breaks down at some point, and so we just have to acknowledge that no analogy is going to be completely perfect. And Jesus says it's not exactly right. Jesus says there's some things that you have to go outside for. And he says there's stuff that, like the pasture, if you imagine a sheep pen in your mind, if you've got 100 sheep inside a pen, it doesn't matter how big the pen is, eventually all of that grass is going to be consumed, and the shepherd is going to have to lead them to a new pasture, a new place to eat. And so we see that there's stuff that you have to go outside for, and there's also stuff that you go inside for, because inside of the pasture area, there's protection. Inside of the pasture area, there's rest. So there's stuff that you go outside for, and there's stuff that you go inside for. So what exactly is Jesus trying to say here? We know that Jesus is the way that leads to life. But also, once you're on the path of life, he's the one that sustains you on the journey. He's the one that walks beside you. So think about it like this. Last week, we talked about Jesus being a one-time entrance, and I think that the analogy held up pretty well last week. This week is about Jesus being, instead of the one-time access, think of Jesus like the bouncer. Right? He's the one at the club deciding who gets to go in and who has to stay out. And so we see in Jesus here that Jesus is the gate. In other words, Jesus is the one that provides access. And if you are part of his family, if you have been connected to him, then you are able to both go in and come out as you need to, as long as you're following him. You see, sheep don't go in on their own, and they don't go out on their own. Instead, they follow the shepherd wherever he might lead. You can imagine a sheep that decided that outside is scary, and I don't trust going outside. I don't trust anything that's happening out there, so I'm going to stay inside of the safety of the sheep pen. But those fences are only so high, and the protection is only so good. And if the shepherd leads the sheep away from the sheep pen and one sheep tries to stay behind, it's going to be just as vulnerable in there as it was when the shepherd, or as it would have been outside if the shepherd wasn't with him. But if you're with the shepherd, if you're staying close to him, if you're walking alongside of the shepherd, that's when you can find happiness, that's when you can find peace, that's when you can find protection. We're going to get to that in just a minute. It's like if your friends give you the keys to their house, and they say, hey, come over anytime you want, you can go through the fridge, you can watch our TV, whatever. Those keys give you access. Right? And so now you've got the thing that you need in order to be able to go in and get the provisions that you need. But you don't live in their house. You don't set up shop there. You don't put all your stuff in their spare bedroom. You're not living there. Instead, you just go over there when you need something, whether it's companionship or food or to watch the Seahawks game, whatever it is. Right? You're just going over there in order to get the things that are necessary, and then you head back to your house. So the sheep went out for food. They came back in for safety. But who was with them the whole time? The shepherd was with them the whole time. And the shepherd is the one that controlled access to the sheep pen. So he made sure that nobody else came in except for those that he had approved. And so when he's bringing in the sheep at the end of the night, if there's somebody else that's trying to get in that has bad intentions, the shepherd is going to keep them out. the shepherd is going to keep them away. So what we see here is that that he's the one who opens the gate. He's the one who closes the gate. He's the one that leads you. Psalm 23 says he leads you beside still waters, right? If you think about the Lord being our shepherd, he takes us to the places that he wants us to go. He makes us to lie down in green pastures, right? He provides rest. He provides comfort. He provides safety for us. He also, the Bible says, sets up a table before us in the presence of our enemies. In other words, our enemies are there. But as long as the shepherd is there, it doesn't matter what they do. He provides comfort for us. He also makes it so that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to be afraid. Why? Because we're with the shepherd. So we see all of these things that we're looking for in life, the joy, the peace, the provision, the safety, the security, all of these things that we're looking for in life are found in the shepherd. They're found in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Jesus wants to guide you. He wants to comfort you. He restores your soul. And Psalm 23, 6, if we could just go ahead and put it up on the screen behind me. Let's go ahead and read this together. It says, "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He says, surely goodness and love. Man, isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we want out of life? If you think about what your best life could be, should be, when you think about that rug that you ordered off of Amazon and you're expecting a full throw rug and you end up getting just that little napkin square, man, the thing that you're chasing, the thing that you're hoping for is only found in Jesus. He says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the more that God has for you. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. All right, so now Jesus adds another character to the story in verse 10 to provide a little bit of contrast and help us understand who he is and to point us towards what the good shepherd can do for us. He says, verse 10, the thief, right? This is somebody else that's tried to enter the sheep pen. This is somebody that's entering the sheep pen with bad intentions. He says there's a thief out there, there's an enemy out there that has a plan and a purpose as well. But his plan isn't a good one, and it's not one that you want to be following. He says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. The thief can't go in the gate. The thief doesn't have access to the gate, but he loves lamb chops. Right? So what's the thief to do if he wants lamb chops and he can't get in the gate? Well, he's figured out a way to get the sheep out of the sheep pen. And he's figured out a way to get the sheep isolated and alone. He's figured out a way to draw the sheep out. And what he does is he promises great things. He promises, hey, you know, I know Jesus is taking you to that same pasture 5 days in a row. The grass is starting to get a little trampled, and it's a long walk. You don't really want to go on that long of a walk. Why don't you just come with me over here? I've got another pasture just on the other side of those trees. We're just going to go over there. You can just come with me, right? Just come on over here. We're just gonna walk over here, and we're gonna enjoy this other green pasture that I have for you. And he says, man, it sure is hot out here. I bet you're thirsty right now. There's no water close by, but I know where there's a stream that you can go to. I know where there's a place that you can go. The interesting thing, the Bible says, Psalm 23, says that he leads us beside still waters. You know why God leads us beside still waters? Sheep aren't all that intelligent, and they are wearing like 4 wool sweaters all the time, right? And what sheep do when they drink water is they will shove their face down just as far into the water as they can go, and that's how they drink water. Well, what happens if your 15 pounds of wool sweater suddenly gets wet? It gets really heavy. And all of a sudden, they say that sheep have gotten carried away in rivers because they weren't paying attention and because they lost their footing or whatever, but it's because their wool gets so heavy that they get drug away. Jesus knows exactly what we need. But there's a thief out there, there's an enemy out there that is trying to lure you with promises of other things. And he has all of these great sounding words. He's been working on this speech for 6,000 years or more to say, I know exactly what you want out of life. And I know how to get you to the best things in life. If you'll just follow me, you can have it all, and you don't even have to sacrifice anything to get there. And if somebody came up here, if I stood up here and I promised you, hey, you can have everything without having to suffer for it, you guys would probably look at me a little bit skeptically, right? If I said, hey, I'm from Nigeria, and I've got this, I have this inheritance, but I can't access it, so I just want to deposit millions of dollars into your bank account, and then you can, once you get the millions, then you can send me a little bit back, and we'll just do it like that, right? And you would look at that skeptically. You'd be like, I don't think so. That doesn't seem right to me. But the enemy has perfected his craft, and he's gotten so good at promising things, and he's gotten society to the point where he doesn't even have to do a lot of the work. But instead, you see it all over the place where these lies are coming. The thief says, you know, Jesus wants you to forgive. He wants you to forgive that person, but he doesn't understand how much you were hurt. He doesn't understand exactly what that person did to you. He doesn't understand because he wasn't there, but I was there, and I saw it. And you know what? You're exactly right to continue to hold on to this grudge. You don't want them back in your life. So he says, you can hang on to it. You can hold on to it. You don't have to let it go. The thief says, it's just a little white lie. Nobody's even going to notice. If you take that thing, I mean, your company, they've got so many of those things. Nobody's going to notice if you take a little bit of it home. Nobody's going to even miss it that much. They're not even thinking about it. Or they think, you know, we really love each other. And we're going to get married eventually anyway. So we might as well start living like we're married right now. We really love each other, and so this is what our next step should be. And the thief lures us with all of these promises. And he's gotten so good at convincing us and twisting us. If I just had a little bit more money, if I just had a little bit more stuff, then I would finally be safe. Then I would finally be secure. Then I would finally have it all, and then I wouldn't have to work so much. But for right now, I'm going to work as much overtime as I can. I know my kids are young, and I know I should be there with them, but they want the boat, and they want all of the stuff, so I'm going to continue working in order to be able, I'm doing it for them, really. I'm not even doing it for me. I'm doing it for them, because I want to provide for them. There's an excellent book. I've mentioned it a bunch of times, but if you have your notes, write this down, okay? It's called The Great Divorce, and it's by a theologian named C.S. Lewis. And it should be required reading for all Christians out there. Read it. It's a story. Okay, it's not. It's a fiction book. But it's about this guy who goes to hell and then gets a chance to glimpse heaven. And in this book, in this story, this isn't real, but it's the way the story is set up. They have an opportunity to choose heaven. The people that are already died, already in hell, have an opportunity to choose heaven. And every time, it's like 15 chapters long, 16 chapters long. I think there's about 10 different conversations that happen in this book. And every time, the person chooses hell over heaven. The reason I say it's required reading is because it exposes so many of these arguments. It exposes so many of these things. There's a man who confronts his brother's murderer. The brother was saved. The murderer gets saved after he murders the brother. This man eventually dies and confronts his brother's murderer. And he cannot imagine being in a place where the brother's murderer gets to be, so he chooses to go to hell instead of choosing to be with his brother and with God for eternity. There's another one, another lady who is so obsessed with her appearance. And she looks at herself in contrast to all of these other people that are around, and she shrinks back and she chooses hell because she doesn't want to be embarrassed. There's another person that is so full of their own intellectualism. They've got everything figured out. They know all of the arguments. And when a guy is arguing with them and he's trying to tell them, you just have to let that stuff go. You just have to seek after Jesus. He says, well, you know what? There's people in hell that probably need the message that I'm trying to share. So I'm going to go back to hell rather than being in heaven. His own intellectualism blinded him from the love that God had for him. It's it's a profound book. It's an amazing book. Everybody, if you're a believer, you should read it. It's also available on the Hoopla app. So if you have a library card, sign in there. You can get the audiobook. You don't even have to read it. You can just listen to it. Okay? Check it out. It is incredible because it exposes all of these lies and all of these things that the devil tries to trick us and tries to keep us away from him. So we find ourselves then in this spot where we want to chase after the things that we want out of life, and there's somebody out there that's promising a better way, that's promising a way that's going to lead to happiness and joy and life, and it doesn't require sacrifice from me. It doesn't require having to give anything up. I can still hold on to my bitterness. I can still hold on to my anger. I can still hold on to my intellectualism. I can still hold on to my pride. So I'm going to choose his way. It's easier, it's faster, I can get what I want. I'm going to choose his way. And what happens is then we compromise and we chase after these things that are pulling us away from God's best. That's not what God wants for you. Please hear me today when I say that's not what God wants for you. God has a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. Jesus says, stick close to me. He says, I'm the shepherd, I'm the gate. If you need rest, I'm going to allow you in to find rest. If you need food, if you need water, I'm going to take you out so that you can find food and water. Just stick close to me on the way. I've got the answer to the best life. Is there more to life than this? Yes, and it's found in Jesus. There's more to life, and it's found in Jesus. So let me ask you this. Who are you listening to today? Because the thief never comes up and says, I'm here to destroy you. Just let's slip behind these bushes right here where I've got my butcher block set up. Let's, you know, just come on over here and we're just going to take care of this. Right now, he never says that. He promises pleasure. He promises fun, safety, but he can never deliver. Only Jesus can deliver. I want to show you guys a story right now. This is a lady named Jessica. It's about a young woman who grew up in church, but she started to chase after the pleasures of this life, and she found what so many of us in here can testify to, that the world promises fulfillment, but it leaves you empty. Let's go ahead and watch this video.
I was raised in a very Christian home. I went to college, and at that point, I kind of just threw everything out the window in regards to what I believed in and everything in relation to my faith. When the opportunity presented itself for me to move to New York City, I took it. I basically hit the ground running and just went full and total pursuit for money, for sex, for drugs, for clothing, for climbing the corporate ladder, all of those things. And I came to a point after 4 years of being here where all of that was just not making me happy. Right at that time, this guy who I'd been friends with kind of stepped in and said, you know, I want to make you happy. I want to be with you. I want to provide for you. Just give me a chance. Just let me love you. It was exactly what I had dreamt about. I felt like I was straight out of Sex and the City, and he was Mr. Big. We traveled around the world. He was extremely wealthy. He came from a very well-off family. I realized that we were headed towards marriage. It was something that we were planning for. And I started feeling convicted about going to church, knowing that that would be how I'd want to raise my children once we did get married. And so I started attending Apostles and actually started inviting the man that I was dating to come with me, hoping that eventually he would convert and that he would become a Christian too. I felt really led to join a community group. I went to the community group for the very first time, and they just so happened to be talking about Christian dating. And so I told them my story about the relationship that I was in. They said, you know, you cannot marry this guy. Like, this is gonna just destroy you. This is not a wise decision. I remember being furious. I left the community group. I went home and cried. I was, you know, I thought to myself, I'm never ever going to go back to Apostles. I'm never going to go back to be around those people. They're horrible. And by the grace of God, something made me go back. I was receiving support from the women in my church and was kind of reaching out to them, but was still just not letting go of this relationship. I just couldn't because it was my everything. I was walking down Madison Avenue to my office. I just felt God's presence and I felt Him say, Jessica, I am what you're looking for. I am it. Like, let me take care of you. Let me love you. I went home and I just cried and I was sobbing. I was just crying out to God and just asking for forgiveness for my rebellion. I ended up ending the relationship. It was definitely the hardest thing that I've ever done in my entire life. Everyone within the church have not left my side. They have been there to support me and to, you know, be there with me through the tears, through the anger, through working everything, all of that out. In the past year and a half since I've ended that relationship and truly just given myself over to God, I have over probably 50 wonderful, beautiful, amazing girlfriends who are my sisters in Christ, and that has just been beautiful and amazing. I was lucky enough to lead a women's book group and was able to lead 12 women in that and just truly kind of mentor them through dating and issues with men and security and in their jobs and their lives and their families. And to be able to take my personal experiences with that and to truly see how it has changed me from the inside out and to proclaim that gift to other people so that they too are led to Christ and that they too can go out into the world and share in that and proclaim His glory is amazing.
So I wanted to show that video because, I mean, first of all, it's a powerful testimony. That's awesome that God is working in that young lady's life. But also, I wanted to show it to you because I don't know if you guys noticed it towards the end of the video, but she's talking and she starts talking about the small group that now she's leading. And she said that when she came to church, she was hurting, she was broken, she needed help, she was stuck in this relationship, she didn't know how to get out, and now she's leading a group for people that are hurting, for people that are broken, for people that are stuck in relationships, that are trying to navigate relationships in a godly, biblical way, and she's encouraging, I forget if she said 15 or 30 different young women who are going through the same things, the same struggles that she went through. You see, whatever you've gone through in life, God wants to redeem it for His glory. He wants to turn those things around for good. So maybe today you've found yourself in a place where you've been chasing more in all the wrong places. And as we've been talking today, God has revealed something to you, and you've said you've started to recognize that, you know, I've been looking for this thing. I've been looking for this thing that I thought was going to help me, that I thought was going to lead me to my best life, and I'm realizing now that it's just a cheap facsimile. That it's just a it's nothing compared to the thing that I wanted. The good news is that Jesus is the gate, and He's inviting you back into His presence today. He wants to walk alongside of you. He wants to see you. And I want us just to imagine for a minute what it would look like if we all chose to live life with this sort of mindset and to live in the abundance that Jesus offers. We would see families that were full of peace instead of stress, because we'd be relying on Jesus as our source, not each other. We'd find friendships that were rooted in love instead of using each other for our own benefit. We'd find a church that was marked by joy, by generosity, and by freedom, and that's what we want. This is what happens when we stick close to the shepherd. There's more to life, and it's found in Jesus. Father God, we just thank You for what You're doing here. And God, I just pray that, Lord, You would help us now. God, You would speak to our hearts. And God, you would show us, Lord, if there's an area of our life that we've been chasing after something that we thought would lead to happiness, we thought would lead to safety, we've been holding on to our bitterness or our shame or our anxiety. God, if we've been chasing after other things, God, I pray that Lord, we would turn to you today. And God, we would find ourselves in your presence, God, lying in green pastures, God, beside still waters. Lord, in your presence where there is fullness of joy today. And some of you, as we just continue praying, some of you guys are realizing that you're chasing after things that promise life, but you found that they're empty. And you've looked for fulfillment in success, relationships, or even sin. But today you know that you need Jesus, because he's the gate and he's the shepherd and he's the only one who can give you the abundant life that you're looking for. If you're here today and